Amen. It's good to be back. It's hard to sit still when you sing songs that says, I was made for more. Man, I know as much as some of you don't like to hear me shout and think the strange things about me. Well, I think strange things about you when you don't shout. When you sing a song that says, I wasn't made to be keeping a grave. Hallelujah. And there's a mountain of grace coming my way. I say, bring it on, Jesus, right? I mean, how can that not get in your soul, right? That's just soul-filling, right? So I don't know what you come for today. Maybe you're just doing your religious duty and being in church on Sunday morning. But I got news for you. There's a mountain of grace coming your way today. Hallelujah. Amen. We're excited to be with you. Back with you. We were gone last week, went up to the northern part of Michigan. We did find out that God is in Michigan. That was a wonderful thing. So I didn't know he went that north. Went to Mackinac Island, and so they have a picture of our family. A little face in the middle is me. And all these are our grandkids and our kids and stuff like that. So we're real proud of our family. 43 years ago, it started with Treva and I, and now we've expanded to 14 or 15 of us. And so these are the cousin crew. That little one up here in front, the second one, those are Drew's too. And some of you know Drew, and those are his kids. And the little one is Silas. You can see the orneriness on his face. And he's just like his daddy, I'm telling you. Amen. It's good to be with them last week, but even better to be with you today, because I believe God has got a word for us. So you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Good to have some friends with us. You're all friends, but these are friends we hadn't seen. Jeff and Daphne Rogozinski. Then the Pascals are with them, and I didn't see Mitch, but Julie's there too, Julie Hall. She's part of us, but I haven't seen Jeff and Daphne probably in 10 years at least, and they've moved back to Murray, and his dad used to actually work for me, the greatest butcher I ever had. I mean, he was a skillful man with a knife, and so just a real blessing. Amen. Hope we don't scare you today. So, amen. I titled this sermon, Treasure Hunting. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Let's start reading with verse 12. We're preaching through the book of Acts, not necessarily verse by verse, but trying to get through everything with an emphasis on what the Holy Spirit is doing. You just remember this, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what he did in the book of Acts, he's still doing. And so God is looking for a people that will say yes to the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles and many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but people esteemed them highly. Can I stop for just a second and say this? Since there's some that would say everything in the book of Acts stopped with the apostles. And that verse would prove it. The rest of them didn't join them. It was strictly the apostles doing this. You have to remember that the church is just a very few days, week, maybe a month old. And so 3,000 people were added to the church on the day of Pentecost, but they're brand new. And so they are learning. So they're not doing yet, but they are learning. Towards the end of the book, we see it begin to... So at this point, it's going to say, and people were added. Towards the end of the book of Acts, it's going to say people were multiplied to the church. What's the difference? You. It starts with 12 apostles doing the work, but when the church gets the message and starts going out and start doing what the apostles were doing, we go from adding to multiplication. 5 plus 5 is 10, but 5 times 5 is 25. You know what the church needs today? It's a multiplication, right? And we're going to get it through the power of the Holy Spirit when the church gets to work. I'm about to preach before I preach. Okay, verse 15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathering from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison door and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel. And they sent to the prison to have them brought. Look over to verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. And him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of his sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Father God, we just come before you, Lord. We're so thankful that you have a message for this church, for each and every believer. God, I pray, Lord, let the Spirit of God move unhindered this morning in this place. I pray that every heart has been broken up through the worship and praise, and that we would receive, Lord, the move of the Spirit of God, that we would receive that fountain of grace coming our way today, God. Let revelation flow in this place so that you change us, so that we don't just come and leave the very same way that we came, Father. We want to leave changed by the Holy Spirit. I want to leave, Lord, ignited for Jesus today. And I want every heart in this place to feel like I've got a job to do and I need to get busy. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to set our hearts on fire for what your heart is set on fire. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. I worship and honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just tell you the story that we just read just a little bit. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. Most of us look and think growth is a wonderful thing, but I'm going to tell you, growth offers lots of problems with it. You have to learn to manage the growth. So I can only imagine that it was a bit chaotic and confusing sometimes as they were incorporating all these new believers and trying to teach them. But God was faithful. Great things were happening to the point that the Bible says that when Peter was just walking down the street, that they would bring their sick. Man, I would have loved to see this. Oh, man, I'd love to see that today. Can you imagine walking down Main Street of Paris? And all of a sudden, your shadow just starts falling on people, and they start falling out and being healed. And you talk about a church builder. That'd build a church right there, right? People want to come to where the fire's at. They'll go where the fire's at. I met a little lady several years ago. Her name is Martha Tennyson. I say a little lady because she's probably close to 90 years old, and she's about 5 foot nothing, weighs about 100 pounds, and she is a spitfire. I'm telling you, she can preach. And she was traveling with another female evangelist, and they were on the plane, and the other one gets up and goes to the bathroom. Now, I heard this straight out of Martha's mouth, and the stewardess comes up to Martha, and she said, "Who is that lady that you're traveling with?" And she told her who she was, and she said, "Why?" She said, "Because she convicts me." Her presence, her person convicts me. I'm telling you, God is the same today as he was when Peter walked. He's just looking for people that will say, "Count me in, Holy Spirit." See, it's not about how good you are, how smart you are. It's not about you. He just needs a body. He just needs someone to say yes to the Holy Spirit. And you would think everybody would rejoice with that, wouldn't you? I would. Man, people are being healed on the streets. It literally says they come from other cities and just start laying their sick out where his shadow could touch them. And it made the religious people mad. It would today too. That's exactly right. This is the kind of church that you can talk back at. So great things is happening. People are being saved, but it makes the religious people mad. And so they grab Peter and the other apostles and they throw them into prison. But God had another plan for them. The angel of the Lord appears to them at night, releases them out of prison. Now, I'm going to say this, and I mean this as respectful as I can, but sometimes the Holy Spirit is a troublemaker, right? He will lead you and guide you and sometimes lead you right into trouble, but He'll be with you in that trouble. So the Holy Spirit, the angel, inspired by the Holy Spirit with the message of God, he says, now I'm going to let you out of here, and I want you to go right back to that temple, and you preach Jesus. So what did they do? They did exactly what they said. And it made the religious people so mad that they threatened them. And they said, don't you do this anymore. Don't you preach in that name anymore. And Peter said, nope, ain't happening. I have to obey God, not man. Folks, I believe we're headed there today. I believe there's a day coming very soon when there's going to be a choice that's going to have to be made by children of God that says, I don't care what law's in place. I'm trusting Him, not man. There was a day in the Old Testament, we call it the three Hebrew children. Remember that story? Nebuchadnezzar builds this big old idol, 90-foot idol. Says everybody's got to bow to that idol. There was the whole city came out and bent down and bowed before that thing, except for three guys, those three Hebrew children. They brought them up, and he said, I'm going to give you one more chance. Maybe you didn't hear the music. And he plays the music, and they still said, can't do it. King, we mean no irreverence to you, but we know there's only one God. We have been commanded not to worship any other God but our God. And so we don't care about the consequences because our God is able to deliver us. But if He doesn't, we still win. Folks, you need to understand that. We still win. Whether God heals you or whether He doesn't, whether God delivers you or whether He doesn't, we still win. We win. Do you get that? We win. But God did deliver them, right? Heated the fire up seven times. King looks in there and said, didn't we throw three men in that fire? Well, there's a fourth man now walking around. You know, one of the things when I go out to the streets to witness on Street Reach or wherever I'm at, I try to remember the Holy Spirit is with me. Sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have exactly the right words. I say this pretty much every Sunday. I don't have exactly the right words to say. You know what I've decided? It's not really about me. Because the Holy Spirit is here. You know what I would call Him? He's the great equalizer. He can take your shortage and make it overcoming. So quit thinking about your shortages. Quit thinking about your inability and your insufficiency and just realize He makes the difference. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He has put this power in this earthen vessel so that it may be about Him and not about you. I don't want people worshiping Eric. No, I really don't. So there's the story that I wanted you to hear. Now, I felt like the Lord gave me three main points from this story. I call this treasure hunting. Number one, it's people, not you. People, not you. Unbelievers need hope. If you've ever had a friend, a loved one that has committed suicide, it's a tragic event. And it's a result of hopelessness. When people lose hope, they do dramatic things. And we have the answer. But I'm going to tell you, we are living in a world that is losing hope very quickly. And we have the answer. So we need to tell them where they find hope. Hope is confident expectation. You hear that? Confident expectation that something good is about to happen. I love that. Romans 15, 13. I'm going to read this whole verse, but you got to catch the first six words or so. He says, now may the God of hope. Did you hear the Holy Ghost bragging on God? He just told you who your God was. He says, now may the God of hope. See, when you feel hopeless, and every one of us do now, we're believers in Christ, but I'm telling you, it's a big trick of the devil to make us feel hopeless. Because we get our eyes off of Him, and we begin to put it on a doctor, we put it on our finances, we put it on our education, we put it on our spouse. We put it in a lot of different places, but our eyes only belong one place, and that's upon our Creator. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's easy to lose hope, and we lose hope, but we can get it back. But there's a world that doesn't know what you know. They don't understand that they can turn all this mess to Christ, and He'll fix their problems. He'll go with them through the fire. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust or believe in Him. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? God describes Himself as the God of hope. In Ephesians chapter 1, the end of verse 17, verse 18, and the beginning of verse 19, He said, Jesus may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. In other words, wake up. Let's see life truly the way it is. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. Isn't that wonderful? I want your eyes to be open today. I pray right now that every one of you leave full of hope. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how limited you think your future is. It is not limited. Because you serve a God of unlimitations, right? He is a God of able. He is able to do more than you can think. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hope for. When you lose your hope, you lose your faith. Because hope is part of faith. So we are people of faith. Keep your hope up high. It doesn't matter what circumstances has to say. It matters what He says, right? 1 Peter 1:3 says that we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to read one more passage of Scripture to you in Psalms 103. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, come on. I love this. This is David encouraging himself. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget His benefits. Hallelujah. Have you forgot His benefits? You know, it's hard when you forget the benefits of God. Because you know why? Because then you're limited to you. I'm not limited to me. I'm not limited to my finances. I'm not limited to my insurance company. Hallelujah. Insurance companies are driving America. But they don't drive me. You hear me? Insurance companies are not my God. It really doesn't matter what the insurance company says. It matters what God says. He says that He will forgive all your iniquities. That song. I never heard that song before that Treva sang. God, cast your sins into the lake. Now don't go fishing. Right? We are not to be living in our past. It matters very little about what you used to be. It matters a whole lot about who you are and who your daddy is. He says He'll forgive us of all of our sins. He heals us of all of our diseases. Listen to this. He redeems my life from destruction. Satan tried to kill you, but God says no. God says no. Amen. Satan wanted to destroy you. He wanted to destroy you through pornography, through drugs, through alcohol, through other sinful addictions. He's trying to kill you. But he said no. He says, I'm going to redeem that life from destruction. Man, are you getting this? Man, we've got good news to share. People are hopeless and they're going to hell. And we have the story to tell them. He says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, most people think God is mad at them. That God wants to strike them. No, God wants to give you good things. God said, I've got tender mercy and compassion on you. And he satisfies your mouth with good things. And now listen to this last part. And he renews your youth like the eagle. Hallelujah. Sign me up, right? I'm old enough to say, yeah, I'll take some of that. I told my sons on vacation, I said, the blessedness of getting older is every day you wake up, you got a new pain somewhere. It's like, you didn't go to bed hurting in your ankle, but all of a sudden now you get up and it, oh man, what did a Treva must have kicked me at night. You know, the eagle goes through a process where he totally renews himself, right? So he goes back up to his nest, goes back up to the mountain, clicks off his beak. He beats his beak against a rock and it will literally come off. He goes through this molting process where all of his leaves, his tail feathers fall out. Not leaves, I mean his feathers. You didn't know an eagle had leaves. I'm sorry to tell you that today. So, you know, if you saw him in the middle of that process, you would think that's a dying bird right there. But he's not a dying bird. Man, that's a word for somebody. Oh, my Lord, did you hear that? You're not a dying bird. I don't care what your body tells you right now. You look in the mirror and say, I'm not dying. I'm getting renewed. Holly, you get that? Come on, that's a Holy Ghost right there. That ain't me. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. 2 weeks ago, my brother gets hauled out of here by these nurses. Thank you, nurses, that were here to help my brother. Thinking he was having a heart attack. He looked bad. God renewed his youth. Hallelujah. God is faithful. That bird is getting ready for his second life. Folks, what in the world? Can't you think of people that need to hear the message? God loves you and God wants to give you a renewed life. A do-over? Any of you ever wanted a do-over in life? Boy, I screwed this one up. Maybe I need a do-over, right? Number two, talked about what people need. What do we need as believers? We need endurance. We need patience. The early church, people are always telling me, I just want the church to be like the church in the Acts. No, you don't. Too high of a price. I promise you. You don't know what you're asking for. You want part of it. You just don't want to pay the price of getting there. You know the early church, you know what the early church called patience? The queen of all virtues. You know what we call patience today in this church? Not this church, but the church body? Evil. Don't pray for patience. It'll bring you problem. What short-sighted ignorance. And if you've ever said it, you just need to repent. Yeah, literally, I'm not joking with you. If you've ever told people that, you need to say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for teaching such nonsense. Because it is what we need. Endurance in the Greek was hupomeno. It means staying power. I'm telling you, Christians, the devil's biggest trick is to get us so discouraged that we just quit. And some of you have quit, but you still attend church. Woo! That was good preaching, Pastor. Yeah, I'm still going to church. I still set my butt in the pew every day, but I do nothing for the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord is not satisfied with that. The Lord says, get up and get busy, and my power will follow you. Thank you, Eugene. I thought that was pretty good preaching myself. Hupomeno. Lord, give us staying power. That after we've done the will of God, that I told you many times, after you pray, before the promise comes, there is a distance of time, and you have got to hang on in faith, believing God. Too many of us are moved by what we feel, and if we don't feel it, we give up. The time is coming, folks. It don't matter if when you pray, you feel like your words hit that ceiling and bounce off, come right back down to you. You just tell the enemy he's a liar, and that is not truth, that I have audience with the King of Kings, and I've been invited into the throne room of grace. And he said I'd find mercy and help in my time of need. I'm not listening to the devil tell me my prayer are not effective. You hear me? I'm telling you, it's time to get mad at the devil. It's time to stomp your foot like a little fat pastor and say, I'm not listening to you no more. Give me some patience, God. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Folks, we are living in the age of the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle flesh and blood, but you're wrestling against hell itself. You hear me? He has not lost power. Satan is still like a roaring lion. He's still mouthy. He's still intimidating. He's still trying to get you to stop. But when the church realizes that's the enemy telling you to stop, God's putting up the green light saying, come on, let's march, let's go, let's conquer. How many of you have heard, well, we just don't see the demonstration of the power of God like they used to in the book of Acts? Well, show me in that book where it happened in the temple. It didn't. Where's the power of God happening? On the streets. I was driving down the road this week. Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. It said, my people have made the baptism of the Holy Spirit a show and tell. It's all show and no tell. He said, but the opposite is true. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is all tell. You are to be my witnesses. The Bible baptizes us with the power of God, not so we can do strange tricks or talk in tongues. The Bible baptizes us with the Holy Spirit so we will be His witnesses. Get to the streets. Go across the street. Talk to your neighbor. I said this morning, people are always saying, sign me up for that trip in Africa. I want to go to Africa. Well, I'm not sending you to Africa or Ohio until you go across the street. I don't think the Holy Spirit will either. Disappointments will come. Setbacks are going to happen. You get your eyes off Jesus for 1 second, and you're going to think, oh my, what's happening to me? Folks, I'm telling you, we overcome. We win. We're winners. College class, graduating class from the university invited Winston Churchill. The reason we're not speaking German today is because of Winston Churchill and our World War II vets. Give them a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Winston Churchill was a bulldog. They invite him to speak to this graduating class. I can only imagine the excitement. That was at the height of his who he was, and people knew his reputation. He walks to the podium, and he says, never give up. Turns around, goes and sets down. What a message. Wouldn't you like to hear a sermon like that? It ain't happening here, I can just tell you. I will include that in many other words. But you hear that, don't give up. Christians, don't give up. See, what we have need of is endurance. You are not running a sprint. The journey is long. Keep running. Keep your eyes focused. Keep listening to the Master. He's not finished with you yet. As long as you can smoke up a mirror, God's got a plan for you. Right? What's the mission of the church? Acts 26:18. It's really one of my favorite verses. It says, the mission of the church is to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. What's the mission of the church? It better be the same as Jesus's. Seeking to save. Help us open their eyes. They need to see Christ. In their desperation, in their hopelessness, they need to know that there's a helper available, that the Comforter will help them through. So whatever He says, we say. The Bible says that we have been called to be Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ was making His appeal through us. You don't have to go to street reach, but you have to tell people about Christ. You know, the church is pretty good about preaching that we need to pray. We're pretty good about preaching that you need to lean into the Spirit and listen to the Spirit. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. But we're awful about one thing, telling people you need to witness. It's one of the things that God expects from us, is to be a witness for Him. And I have found that the church is silent. We're being silenced. And not by God. Do you feel this like I feel this? I mean, I feel like I've got a message from God. That's why I'm acting like I act. I can't contain this that's inside of me. But we've got to get busy, and we've got to, I'm not telling, you don't have to act like me. Aren't you happy? God didn't call you to be me. God wants you to be you with the power of God on you. Tell people Jesus loves them. Tell your neighbor there is hope in Christ. Don't let them. So we went out yesterday, street reach. I walked into a little old couple's house, 90 years old. Couldn't hear and couldn't hardly see. You could see the cataracts on his eyes. I got down on my knees in front of him and tapped him on the legs. He doesn't walk much anymore, if any. I began to talk to him. Told me his age, very, very polite. But then out of his mouth, he says, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a God that could create what we see in 7 days. And I said, you're trying to make God man, because man couldn't do it, but there's nothing impossible with God. I said, God could do what He does, you know. And so I said, well, what do you think happens when we die? He said, you go to the ground. I said, so you don't believe in heaven or hell? He said, I believe in hell. I think hell is right now. And I said, well, I agree a little bit with you. I've had a little bit of that too. But there's a hell coming much worse than this. I said, if you're wrong, you're in danger. If I'm wrong, I've just lived a good life. I pray for you. I said, can we pray together? He said, I ain't praying. I don't believe in God. And I said, you mind if I pray? I believe in God. He was so nice. He said, absolutely pray. You know, he thanked me 3 times for coming. And here's what he said. I respect what you're doing. A man that doesn't believe in God allowed me to come in his house and challenge his beliefs, and he thanked me for it. I told him, you're wrong. You know you're wrong, right? You're wrong. you're wrong. That's not easy to look a man in the face and say, you know, your theology stinks. I don't know where you got it from, but it's not right. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And he looks back at you, thanks for coming, buddy. I got news for you. I ain't going to let him go out of this earth without seeing this little fat preacher again. The Lord has set a challenge in my heart. I'm not going to let a 90-year-old, his belief is up to him, but he's going to hear about the salvation of Christ. He's got to hear. Does that make sense? He's got to know. And who's going to go if I don't go? Who's going to go if you don't go? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news. Look at your feet right now and say, I don't care what my wife says, my feet are pretty. Well, that probably wasn't anointed by the Holy Ghost, but most of this has been. I just want to talk to you about one more thing. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus taught us a parable. This is the words of Christ. One verse. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it. And for the joy over it, he goes and he sells everything he has to buy that field. Can I tell you? I believe the treasure is lost souls. I believe the greatest joy that you will ever know, it's worth selling everything. I don't necessarily think that's literal to us, but I think it's a matter of priority. You see, these disciples, they had one goal in their heart. That's to reach Jerusalem, to reach their nation for God. They wasn't worried about what they're going to eat tomorrow. I get up off the dinner table thinking about supper. It's like, what are we going to have for supper, honey? Do you realize how much time we spend on stuff that doesn't matter? What you're going to wear? Where you're going to go? Planning a vacation? The disciples got up in the morning thinking, lead me, God. Do you realize how simple life can get if we eliminate all the junk? You hear me? And say, God, I am yours. Now, do we have to still work? Yeah. You still have to work. You still got to raise them kids. I don't care. I ain't taking them. And that is your ministry, actually, is to raise God changers or world changers. I mean, that isn't that great? My first ministry is to raise those who put in the house with me. For the last several years, I've worried about my kids. I think I've probably told you this, but it's been a real concern. To the point that I set a time on my clock, 3:07, for every day at 3 o'clock, 7 minutes after 3, I have 3 children, 7 grandchildren. I have an alarm go off and I pray for my kids. That came out of a bit of a fear that I was afraid my children wasn't living for God the way they were raised. So I spent a week with them. To me, the week wasn't about Michigan or going to Mackinac Island smelling the horse poop. It was about examining my children, about seeing where their faith was. I wanted to report to you, my children love Jesus. My children are still children. Now, they're not perfect kids by any means. They took after their mother too. So, but my children love Jesus. They're still people of prayer. Man, that brought such peace to my heart. One night after the kids went to bed, my daughter-in-law, she said, can we pray together? I'm like, oh, Shadanamaka. Yes, we can. I've been waiting to hear those words, right? And so we all got in a circle and we started sharing. And man, you know, they started sharing some of the fears, some of the hopelessness that they feel. And we got to address that in the Spirit of God by prayer. Folks, I'm telling you, if you will get with your friends and just ask them, what are you worried about? What, where are you afraid of? I promise you, it's there. You hear me? It's there. Fear has torment, and it stops you. And we have the answer. Are you kidding? If you don't get another thing, you got to get this. We have the answer. The answer is Christ. Didn't he make it simple for us? Thank the Lord. I'm not real smart, but I can get that one. Whatever your problem is, the answer is Jesus. Man, he makes the job of a preacher really simple. Oh, it's Jesus. Just pray. It's really that simple. The answer is Jesus. He is the hope for the hopeless. He's the one that will give us hupomeno, the staying power. Would you stand with me? Feel like the Lord told me to open the altars for today's service. So I want you to know the altar is open. The altar is a place of surrender where you can come. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, you don't need me to tell you how. But if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, if he's identified something, I would encourage you to come stand up here and surrender that to the Lord. And maybe ask the Lord to forgive you for something or other. But I do have a couple of things I want to say. If you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you're not 100% sure that you are going to heaven, you need to come down here and let us pray for you. We want to solve that. We want you to know that you know that you know. 1 John 5:12 says that you can know. Matter of fact, this scripture today talked about knowing. That you can know. People are dying around us with this thing. It's, well, I hope I make it to heaven. No. You don't want to hope on that one. You got to know. You got to know that you're born again, that Jesus lives in your heart. The second thing is, do you need a renewed passion for the lost? Do you realize people are dying all around you and going to hell? Do you care? Because he wants you to care. The devil and society wants you to turn your eyes inward so much that you forget about everybody that you're rubbing shoulders with every day. Could actually be family. Could be your next door neighbors. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time that you were so burdened? Pentecostal people, you know what I'm talking about. When your heart gets overwhelmed with this thing, that you just begin to cry out before the Lord. I'm telling you, we need renewed passion for the lost. And I believe the Lord wants to give it to us today. And the third thing is, do you feel stuck? I don't really even know what I mean by that. Sometimes I just write down what I feel like the Holy Spirit gives me. And that's what he said. There's people in the congregation that feel stuck. Are you stuck? Are you stuck where you don't feel like I can't get out of this thing? I just feel like I'm in a rut and I can't get out. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to free you today. So Treva's going to sing a song. The altars are open. I'm going to pray for all of you at one time. We're not going to take individual time unless the Spirit of the Lord tells me to. But that's how I plan to end this service. Danny, you can just come on up and stand with me. So come on up if any of those things matter, if the Spirit of God has told you. I want you to surrender this.
Lord, I need you.
Oh, I need you. Yeah. Righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Lord,
I need you. Yes, I need you. Every hour I need you. righteousness.
Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you,
Father God, I come before you right now. Lord, you see these at the altar. Lord, these who have humbled themselves to step out in courage and say, I have a problem. I need to confess it to you, Lord. I need your help, Lord. I need to get out of from being stuck, Lord. I need to know, Lord, that you're sending me, God. I need something from the Spirit of God. I pray today, Spirit of the Lord, fall upon these folks, Lord, that have stepped away from their chair, come in front of this congregation and said, I need you, God. I need that hupomeno. I need the staying power of the Holy Ghost. I need the queen of all virtues. I need to know that you're on my side and that when I pray, you will come through. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see it. I trust in you. I believe you, Lord Jesus. My faith is in you. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. So, Lord, I look to you. My body, my mind may be saying one thing, but my word says something else, and I trust the word of God. Father, I pray, let your spirit rest. Lord, I believe there's some up here that are asking for answers today. God, I believe there's people in this congregation, there's people watching us by Facebook, Lord, that the Spirit of God has dealt with. They just didn't have the courage to step out. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the Spirit of God would touch them where they're at. God, Lord, as they surrender their heart to you, Lord, I pray, Lord, touch them. Give them that encouraging word. Tell them that you're greater in them, Lord, that they can do it. You're looking for their yes. That you will move by your Spirit in their life. God, I thank you. You're all powerful. You're El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Lord, I'm not limited by me. I'm not limited by what I think or what I have. I'm not limited, God, by what the devil tells me. God, I thank you, Lord, that I serve the God of impossibilities. Everything is possible to you. And everything is possible to those that believe. I thank you, Lord. It may not seem right to a man that you could create this world in 7 days, but I know you did it because you said it, Father. I believe you, God. I believe that you're still the healing God. I believe you're still the saving God. I believe you're still the empowering God. And I believe, Lord, that you want to take us out of the pit. Lord, that you want to crown us, Lord, with that loving kindness. The devil wants to make us think that our heyday is over. The best it's ever been is gone. Now we just got to suffer until we get out of here. And I say, I don't believe that. I trust in God that my best days are ahead. That you're going to renew my youth like the eagle. Father, I didn't read that verse for nothing. You were speaking to somebody. God, let people's faith arise in this place and lay hold of the promise of God and not give up. Jesus, we need you. Oh, do we need you? Let your power rest on these people. Let your power change us and help us to change the community in which we live. God, I know you want to save. You're still the saving God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they got to hear, God. They got to hear. Help us to preach the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
God is faithful. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. You know, he talks about sharing the gospel and going across the street and everybody's worried, well, I don't know what to say. All you got to do is that. Just say, this is what God's done for me. It's that simple. Everybody has a testimony, right? Everybody has something they can share that God's done for them. And it's that simple. You know, it's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. He's faithful, for sure. He takes care of practical things as well as spiritual things. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Don't forget all the announcements that Dale gave you at the beginning. Next Sunday, if you haven't had a chance to talk to our pastor and Treve and get to know them, even if you've been coming for 6 months and just haven't been able to get to them, I encourage you to come next week and spend time with them, get to know them. That way you'll know if you want to keep coming or not. You get that figured out for sure. So anyway, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.